From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kilohertz and voanews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo said just solution for Myanmar people cannot be delayed. Minister Erlangga Hartarto said 2021 economic growth bolstered by renewable energy industry. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news. President Joko Widodo was called for an immediate and just solution for the Myanmar people, saying they have a right to peace, prosperity and democracy. As reported by Antara, President Joko Widodo on his official Twitter account at Jokowi on Wednesday stated that Indonesia must assist in providing a fair solution for Myanmar people. This cannot be delayed any further. He urged everyone to never stop fighting for the rights of the Myanmar people. He has also voiced his concern over the Myanmar's crisis while meeting the Singaporean leader. He reiterated the importance of implementing the Asian 5-point consensus for Myanmar. The new and renewable energy NRE industry was one of the main sectors that supported Indonesia's positive economic growth in 2021. This was said by Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto at the Green Economic Outlook 2022 on Wednesday, as quoted by Antara. He also noted Indonesia's real gross domestic product GDP in 2021 was higher than the real GDP before the COVID-19 pandemic. Currently, the government has been assessed as an upper-middle-income country. The green economy has become the government's main strategy for medium and long-term economic transformation, for expediting economic recovery, as well as encouraging inclusive and sustainable development. British Minister for International Trade and Marine Travelian MP visited Indonesia on February 22nd to 23rd, 2022. His coming... Her arrival to launch the joint British-Indonesian's Economic and Trade Committee JETCO with Minister of Trade of the Republic of Indonesia Muhammad Lutfi. Her visit also boosted several main sectors such as increasing green trade in many fields, namely renewable investment, hydrogen and nickel, as well as digital innovation. At the joint press conference with Minister Muhammad Lutfi in Jakarta on Wednesday, Anne-Marie Trevelyan MP explained that the British government fully supports Indonesia's efforts to materialize the renewable energy potential.
On renewables and clean growth, Indonesia's renewable energy potential is 5 times the size of its current energy production capacity. Indonesia could be a clean energy superpower, and UK companies are helping to bring innovative technologies in areas like tidal energy, and there's lots of potential in hydrogen. So the UK government is fully behind Indonesia's efforts to realise this potential and ready to collaborate to realise all our COP26 commitments. For food and drink and agricultural commodities, I look forward to progress that allows new products from both our countries to find space in the other's shops and supermarket shelves. I have no doubt that Indonesian food and drink can be very popular in the UK.
By having the plan to invest 20 million euro per year in tidal stream electricity as part of a new renewable energy auction scheme, the UK government has started a new chapter for the tidal industry, and this technology can be used to support Indonesia in its efforts to achieve its new renewable energy target of 23% by 2025. Meanwhile, on the same occasion, Minister Mohammad Lutfi hopes to boost trade cooperation of both countries through free trade agreement in the future.
And prior to JETCO meeting, Secretary of Trade and I also have the opportunity to exchange views on the long-term visions of Indonesia-UK UK economic relations, including the possibility of exploring a bilateral FTA for the future. And I hope this will come into realization sooner than later, considering the potential benefits that the FTA would bring for the both countries.
Moreover, Indonesia and the UK reached a trade value worth £2.6 billion sterling in 2021. The free trade agreement is one of the keys to increasing the value of trade of both countries, particularly in priority sectors. Relocation of the capital city IKN Nusantara to East Kalimantan will involve local human resources from the commencement of IKN development until the government starts functionally there. This was stated by Presidential's Chief of Staff, Muldoko, at the public discussions regarding the relocation of IKN Nusantara in Jakarta on Wednesday, as reported by Antara. He noted the development of IKN Nusantara should be able to tap into the skills of human resources in the region. He further stated that people in East Kalimantan are optimistic that the new IKN development would not marginalize the local community. Minister of Villages, Development of Disadvantaged Region and Transmigration Abdul Halim Iskandar has expressed support for the cultivation of sago to diversify the domestic food supply and strengthen national food security. The cultivation of sago is important to provide alternative food sources to realize Indonesia's food security and sovereignty. This was said by Minister Abdul Halim in a written statement received by Antara on Wednesday. He also noted that according to Law No. 18/2012 concerning food security refers to the sustainable availability of sufficient, safe, diverse, nutritious, equitable and affordable food, both in terms of quantity and quality. Let's move on to the international news. The long-standing collaboration between the United States and Russia is operating the International Space Station ISS appears to be on solid footing, even as tensions between the two countries build over the Ukraine crisis. As reported by Reuters.com, some 7 weeks after the Biden administration's pledge its commitment to keeping ISS operational through 2030, NASA is still in talks with the Roscosmos, its Russian counterpart, on a new crew exchange deal. The U.S. space agency stated on Wednesday that under such an agreement, the two former space rivals would routinely share flights to the station on each other's spacecraft. The Elysee Palace, in a statement later on Wednesday, stated French President Emmanuel Macron reiterated his support for Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity after a call with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. As reported by Reuters.com, the French presidency said that President Macron also praised the Ukrainian president's composures in the current situation. The Elysee Palace added support that the European Union can provide to Ukraine will be on the agenda of the meeting of the European Council on Thursday. Listener, now let's move on to Diplomatic Corner on Ambassador Fajrul Rahman hands over credentials to Kazakh President Kasym Jomart.
Today's Diplomatic Corner highlights: Ambassador Fajrul Rahman hands over credentials to Kazakh President Kasym Jomart. Listeners, Indonesian Ambassador to Kazakhstan Fajrul Rahman handed over a credential letter to President of the Republic of Kazakhstan Kasym Jomart Tokayev in Nur Sultan City on Monday. The ceremony for the handover of the credential letter was solemn and smooth while adhering to the health protocols amid the COVID-19 pandemic. This was the written statement from the Indonesian Embassy Nur Sultan received by Antara on Tuesday. During the meeting, Ambassador Fajrul conveyed greetings from President Joko Widodo to President Kasym Jomart Tokayev. He also explains about the diplomatic efforts that will be carried out while serving in Kazakhstan, namely increasing cooperation in all fields, including economic diplomacy, about 70 to 80% On the same occasion, Ambassador Fazrul also explained about efforts to further intensify the presence of pencaksilat culture in Kazakhstan. Over the last 4 years, pencaksilat has developed very rapidly in Kazakhstan. The Kazakh Pencaksilat Association has already existed in 12 regions out of 14 regions in that country. On that occasion, President Chokayev congratulated the official start of the assignment in Kazakhstan, as well as the support from the government of Kazakhstan to Ambassador Fazrul Rahman in carrying out his duties while in Kazakhstan. Furthermore, President Chokayev also said that Indonesia is an inseparable part of foreign policy of Kazakhstan. According to President Chokayev, Indonesia is a partner country of Kazakhstan, which has good relations bilaterally and multilaterally. In addition, President Chokayev also congratulated Indonesia on holding the G20 presidency. At the end of the letter submission ceremony, Ambassador Fazrul conveyed greetings from the Indonesian people to the government and people of Kazakhstan, and he hopes for an official visit between the leaders of both countries. That's Diplomatic Corner.
Well, listen, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, today in history starts with the event on February 24, 1920, when Nazi Party was established. The German National Socialist Labour Party, or better known as the Nazi Party, was a political party that existed in Germany. Nazis' ideology emphasized the racial purity of the German people. In carrying out this ideology, the Nazis committed a systematic murder of 6 million Jews and 5 other million people, including Gypsies, homosexuals and disabilities, and their political opponents. Violent means which were used to expand power sparked the outbreak of the Second World War in Europe. Next event is that in 1946, Juan Perón was elected as president of Argentina. On February 24, 1946, Juan Domingo Perón was elected as president of Argentina. In 1943, as a soldier, Perón joined the coup to overthrow the government. In 1944, he was appointed as vice president and minister of war. 1 year later, he was ousted from office and imprisoned. However, at the insistence of the workers and laborers who supported him, Perón was immediately released. We end today's history with the event in 1955, the birth of Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs is an important figure who revolutionized the computer, music, and mobile communications industry through Macintosh, iPod, iPhone, and iPad devices. He was born in San Francisco, California on February 24, 1955. In 1976, Jobs, along with his computer engineer friend Stephen Wozniak, founded Apple Computer in a garage owned by Jobs' parents in Altos, California. In 1970, Jobs and Wozniak launched the Apple II, which became the first popular personal computer. At a young age, in his mid-20s, Jobs had become a multimillionaire. He passed away on October 5, 2011, at the age of 56 due to illness. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Selalu ada untukmu, selalu memberikanmu cintaku. Tak bisakah kau merasakan itu, hingga kau pun mencintaku. Cintaku yang selalu ada untukmu, tak usah kau pernah ragukan itu. Aku tak bisa bila kau pergi jauh meninggalkanku. Aku di sini untuk kamu. Jangan pernah berpikir untuk meninggalkanku sendiri tanpa kamu. Aku di sini untuk kamu. Jangan pernah berpikir untuk pergi dariku. Walau hanya sesaat, ku tak bisa hidup tanpa dirimu. Aku yang selalu ada untukmu, selalu memberikanmu cintaku. Tak bisakah kau merasakan itu hingga kau pun mencintaku? Cintaku yang selalu ada untukmu. Tak usah kau pernah ragukan itu. Hingga ku tak bisa bila kau pergi jauh meninggalkanku. Aku di sini untuk kamu. Jangan pernah berpikir untuk meninggalkanku sendiri tanpa kamu. Aku di sini untuk kamu. Jangan pernah berpikir untuk pergi dariku. Hanya sesaat ku tak bisa hidup tanpa dirimu.
Di sini untuk kamu.
Di sini untuk kamu. Tanpa kamu, aku di sini untuk kamu. Jangan pernah berpikir untuk pergi dariku. Hanya sesaat ku tak bisa hidup tanpa. Bisa hidup tanpa dirimu.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo防ぎましょう. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zhenque peidai kouzhao, yi fangchi xinxing guangzhuang bingdu feiyan de chuanbo. Wo de kouzhao baohu ni.
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Work on the getting over dragging pan COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19. En portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian Environment Forestry Ministry encouraged the people to play more role in waste management and in supporting the climate change control during the National Waste Day 2022. Environment and Forestry Deputy Minister Aloy Dohong said that it was the time for the National Waste Day to move into people's productivity's actualization through waste prevention, control, and management, which would give a real contribution to people's welfare. Aloy Dohong also said waste management plays an important role in controlling climate change and its effect. Waste decompositions and incinerations cause greenhouse gas emissions that will trap the heat from the sun in Earth's atmosphere and make the earth hotter. Without good management, the greenhouse gases such as carbon dioxide and methane from waste will evaporate into the atmosphere and raise the earth's temperature. However, Alue Dohong added, these gases from waste decompositions could actually be used as an alternative energy source. Alue Dohong said during the National Waste Day 2022, the Environment and Forestry Ministry synergized three main programs to control climate change, namely waste management, emissions reductions, and climate village. Through the Climate Village Program, or PROCLIM, the government attempts to increase the people's involvement in climate change mitigation and adaptations that includes waste management. Meanwhile, Director General for Waste Management Rosafi Fin Ratnawati said there was training for four villages in Gianyar Bali that were involved in the Climate Village Program. This regency will be a pilot project for 3,270 other climate villages across the country. Moreover, the four villages showed good waste management with a waste bank.
Maaf telah sayang padamu, kau selalu buatku tak menentu. Perhatianmu yang buatku, oh, ingin ku memilikimu. Meski kau telah dimilikinya, bolehkah ku dekat denganmu? Izinkan ku dekat denganmu, tak ingin engkau dengannya. Ku akan
still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
To travel to Jakarta, someone may visit various interesting tourism attractions. One of the most popular and up-to-date ones is Pos Blok. Post Block Jakarta is a public creative space that provides several micro, small and medium enterprises such as culinary and creative products. The location is the Expos Office Building of the Dutch East Indies Era, precisely located in Jalan Pos No. 2, Pasar Baru, Central Jakarta. Initially, the place was a Dutch colonial philatelic building that was founded in 1860s and was used as a post office. Now, the post block has become a cultural heritage. This new hangout is strategically located for users of public transportation. The post block can be reached by getting on Transjakarta buses and getting off at the Juanda shelter. There is no entrance ticket that must be paid for, but to enter the post block, you must scan the QR code via the Peduli Lindungi application. You are also required to wear a mask and keep your distance. From the front entrance, you can see various stalls selling local products such as batik, local bags and shoes. The price of the products is also very affordable, starting from 10,000 rupiah to 70,000 rupiah. There is also a post office kiosk on the corner of the room. In the central area of the building or great hall, there is the grandstand, which is a place to sit and chat. At the bottom of the stand, there is a photo box. There are many spots in the living room that can be used as a background for selfies, highlighting the beauty of this old building. As a contemporary hangout, the post block provides a variety of culinary styles. You can find snacks such as fried banana cheese, batagor, fried bakso, fried sausage, various kinds of bread, and many more. The lowest price of food at the post block is 20,000 rupiah. Besides Indonesian food, there are also Indian food, Australian food, and Japanese food. While enjoying food, you can sit in the courtyard of the philatelic building or in the middle of the building that has several seats, or even on the sidewalk. Don't forget to fill in your digital money to transact at the post block, because you can't use cash here. Several other facilities at the post block are toilets, playing areas, prayer rooms, parking lots, markets, and many more. This post block operates every day. Operational hours are every Monday to Friday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. On weekends, it starts from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Jauh masa depan, kelak suatu hari ku akan menjadi cahaya bagi Indonesia. Ayolah kawan, bersama kita akan harumi Indonesia. Indonesia ku,
depan yang indah bersamamu.
Listeners, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Miscellany for today has a topic, Digital Health Services or Telemedicine, Vascular Indonesia, develop in Indonesia. Listeners, lecturer of Erlangga University, Niko Azari Hidayat, develop a digital health service or telemedicine vascular Indonesia. The Indonesian Vascular Telemedicine Service is a part of the Indonesian Telemedicine Association to support the activities of the Ministry of Health in dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. This thoracic, cardiac, and vascular surgeon said that the Vascular Indonesia platform consists of a triage room that aims to identify patients early. In addition, there is also a Vascular Indonesia Care Unit service to monitor complaints and symptoms of self-isolated patients. This service is intended for patients who have uploaded e-receipts. In addition to monitoring patients remotely, the team of doctors at Vascular Indonesia also regularly holds webinars containing educational materials and guidelines on how to maintain a good immune system when undergoing self-isolation. To get digital health service or telemedicine Vascular Indonesia, self-isolated patients who have previously carried out PCR tests in laboratories affiliated with the Ministry of Health will receive an automatic message containing the option to undergo telemedicine services. By choosing the Vascular Indonesia telemedicine service, the patient can immediately consult the doctor on duty. The Vascular Indonesia Telemedicine Service is free for patients who are confirmed positive for COVID-19. Telemedicine services consist of volunteers, 36 general practitioners, and 20 specialists. This service is to help patients who are exposed to COVID-19 to perform self-isolation and to suppress the spike in the COVID-19 trend in recent weeks. Dr. Niko is not a new figure in the world of digital health, with a doctorate in thoracic, cardiac, and vascular surgery specialist. He developed the Food Diabetes Indonesia application in 2019. The social impact application is a means of education and prevention from the dangers of diabetic food. In addition, the man who had a clinical fellowship education at the University Medical Centrum Utrecht, the Netherlands and earned the title of vascular and endovascular consultant, is also one of the initiators of the Indonesian varicose vein application, an online innovation service in the form of a program called the Vascular Indonesia Health Travel Program. That's Miss Seleni.
Selalu lebih indah bisa kau lihat, tak berarti nyata. Berjanjilah, kau kan mengerti, pahamilah arti hidup ini. Bahagia tak perlu kau cari, sudah ada. Tak ada alasan untuk kau berseri. Berhenti cintai yang tak pantas dicintai. Selalu hargai yang setia di hati. Berjanjilah,
penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegi mashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Welcome to getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19.
en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener, Voice of Indonesia. Today, I'm going to present to you a song entitled Kala Cinta Menggoda by Krisha. The lyrics of the song were created by Guru Soekarno Putra, and the song tells the story of someone who loves someone else, even though he is in a romantic relationship with someone else. The song Kala Cinta Menggoda was released in 1997. Thanks to the song Kala Cinta Menggoda, Krisha managed to win the Asia Viewers' Choice Awards category at the MTV Video Music Award in 1998. Until now, the song Kala Cinta Menggoda is still well known, especially after being sung again by the Noah Band in 2020. Well, listener, here is Krisha with the song Kala Cinta Menggoda.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
It's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at VOI Indonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.